March 3, 2022. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
What do you think of Johnny Hodges and of Lester Young today?
I am just as well. As I did.
As well as you used to.
Yeah, just as well as I did 15 years ago.
Well, Rabbit certainly was, he'd have to play in the front ranks, really, of any group of musicians that you name, because he always played so prettily, man. He was always a beautiful player. I know Bird, I remember reading an interview with Bird in a magazine one time, and Bird was very, very enthusiastic about Hodges' playing, and said that Hodges was one of his major influences.
Yeah, he was great.
Had so much soul.
So much soul, man. A lot of soul.
A lot of people say that Lester doesn't play as well today as he used to. I don't know. To me, he's always played great.
I think so, too.
He's always played great. Yeah. He always has a great sound. He's always got young guys with him, too. You notice nowadays, well, for the last 10 years, he's always chosen some of what he felt were the younger talents, like this trumpet player that he had working with him for quite a while, Jesse Drake.
Yeah. He's a trumpeter.
Very, very good trumpeter. The trouble is you don't hear enough of him.
That's right. I don't know why. He'll be heard. He's a good trumpeter. Yeah. He'll find some groove somewhere for him.
1, 2, 3, 4. Pack my bags, I'm gonna walk on down to the eclipse. I see a woman, she's been camping out all night for the eclipse. There's a man there, trying to sell some tickets to the eclipse. The businessmen, they got no time for the eclipse. Social gathering, but no one can look into the sky. Okay, he was funny saying glasses. They're trying to catch a glimpse of the eclipse. There's a vendor walking around. He's trying to sell some t-shirts of the eclipse. The man's vomiting all over a rock. He can't quite handle the eclipse. I check my watch now. Uh-oh, it's almost time for the eclipse. It's a social gathering, but no one can look into the sky. It's a social gathering, but no one can look into the sky. It's a social gathering, but no one can look into the sky. It's a social gathering, but no one can look into the sky.
Watt from Pedro show. Happy Thursday.
Turn the guy. Happy Thursday to you.
I gotta turn the fucking. I'm talking to listeners, David. you can tell people that I'm not man alone because those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype adventure. I got David Hinkley with me. Welcome aboard, David.
Hey, how's it going?
And we gotta give Howard big credit for the connect. True.
For sure. Yeah, I wouldn't have known how to get in touch with you otherwise.
Well, you could go to the Hoop page, but there's always a way. Howard's an old buddy, and I'm so glad. Where are you talking to me from, David?
I am in Queens, New York.
Yes, one of the boroughs.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Let's find out about your journey through music. Can you bring your earliest musical recollection, please?
I mean, are we going to go back to, like, 2 years old, hearing nuns playing church on acoustic guitars? Or are we going to high school, my first band? Either one.
Okay, I'm going to restate the question. Musical recollection. So music doesn't mean you making it, in my mind.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go with the nuns.
But we're gonna get to the fucking high school thing, so don't worry. Yeah, let's go with the nuns.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in like a hippie Catholic church in the rectory where my parents were Sunday school teachers. So there was like these, you know, everyone has these like horror stories of nuns. For me, there were these really sweet kind of hippie nuns who played acoustic guitar, and you know, the music in the church was kind of acoustic and cool sounding. So yeah, I think I just had like a warm, you know, association with music and those sounds, like at a really early age. I was surrounded by it.
When I was
and choral singing, I guess, too, yeah.
So that's your memory, your earliest musical memories in church. Well, my mom's people were from Italy, and so I went to Catholic Church as a boy. And the Vatican II thing in the 60s, when they started doing the litany, not in Latin anymore, there was this thing called the guitar mass.
Yep.
That's what I remember from Navy Housing. So I can relate a little bit to you. You know, I should tell the people what they just heard. It was August Bloom asking John Coltrane about Johnny Hodges and Lester Young in 1958. And then your The Eclipse tune.
Oh, right on.
New stuff, yeah. Okay. Back to your journey. First record you bought with your own money?
That might have been not until middle school.
That's
I think
all
it
right.
was probably.
That's all right.
Yeah, I think it was They Might Be Giants, Lincoln.
That's funny because I think they went on to just do records for kids.
Yeah.
So you were a veterano by then. And the first gig you saw?
Also, They Might Be Giants. I saw them at the Bottom Line in New York City. My mom had to take me because I was only 13.
The
and it was a two-person. Yeah, the Bottom Line.
Raymond Pettibone took me to see Sonny Rollins there.
No way. Wow, that's a story.
Okay, I understand the music at the church. Your parents are teachers, but are there any musical instruments in the pad you grew up in?
You know, really sadly, we had like a piano in this house that my parents bought, and it was kind of out of tune, and I was all excited there'd be a piano in the house. And then for whatever reason, my dad just wanted to get rid of it. So my memory is that we just took it out to the front porch and we got to like chop it up and, you know, throw it out on the curb to be taken away. But when I think back to that, I'm like, what a travesty, man. We could have had a cool rinky dink out of tune piano and instead we destroyed it.
you could have probably hired somebody to try and tune it too.
I know. What the hell? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know. Man.
Okay. Let me ask you this then. School. Marching band, choir. Well, you said you were doing choral in church, right?
Not really. I mean, I just like the sound of
choral. Oh, you weren't part of it.
Music.
You were just listener.
Yeah, just
okay,
listening.
That's all right.
But yeah, no, for sure. I played trumpet for 9 years in school.
Oh,
I was
okay.
in the marching band. Yeah, I did play. We went to the football games and wait, you know, wake up at 6 in the morning.
Trumpet was hard to with marching because a little mouthpiece.
Oh man, it was brutal, especially those cold winter mornings.
I heard,
you got the metal mouthpiece hitting your
the bone,
teeth.
Well, and also the side, like the bone and the baritone and tuba. You know, the bigger mouthpiece, they're easier as it's bouncing, right? Cause,
yes.
I heard even tougher than trumpet though was the French horn mouthpiece.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
It's really little. John Entwistle, right? There's a French horn solo in the middle of Pictures of Lily.
Yeah.
So, now what about after school? Not after graduating, but in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the garage band, the basement band. Did you?
Oh yeah.
Well, you got on guitar, right? So, did you? You didn't play trumpet when you jammed with your buddies, did you?
Well, I got my first like acoustic guitar in high school, and I could barely play it, but that was fine. And I did, you know, my friend played the clarinet and he made like noise with, so we did play both trumpet and clarinet in this like,
you know what I also forgot, David, that maybe some of your young music was in the 90s and there was a ska thing and that's where finally the brass guys from school bands could be in rock bands. Right?
Yeah, ska was big. It's true. Toasters and,
but over here, like for even some Warped Tours had half the band ska for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the...
But you guys didn't do it. You guys were like kind of experimenting?
We were more like an anti-folk East Village kind of spoken word band. It was like stoner poetry.
How do you do spoken word with horns in your mouth?
What's that?
How do you do spoken word with horns in your mouth?
Right? He would take the lead while I played the trumpet, and he would read his poetry, and then he'd play clarinet, and I'd read mine.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Do you have records of this shit?
Well, yeah, I think that song you just played, The Eclipse, was Velvet Cactus Society. That's that era, yeah.
Well, see, all the tunes were named David Heatley, so I found out some were the Bischoffs, two of them, but I couldn't tell what was what, you know? Howard could have helped.
Oh, my bad.
That's all right. So, actually, there was a name for the band doing The Eclipse. What was the name of that band?
Yeah, we were called Velvet Cactus Society.
Velvet, that's a good name.
Thanks, man.
Especially a desert kind of trip in New York City. Velvet Cactus Society?
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
And so what? Well, you're playing like what? West Village Coffee House?
We did play some open mics there. Probably the biggest gig I had was there was a homeless benefit concert at my high school that actually my wife, my friend, she organized it. We played that. That was like a full auditorium, so that was kind of thrilling. But yeah, otherwise we played like open mics in East Village cafes and stuff.
Okay, and how long did that last?
Well, it was really only a couple of years, but you know the big thrill was we did get to meet. We sent our stuff, our little 4-track tapes, to Kramer on Shimmy Disc, and he signed us basically, and we put out 2 CDs on Shimmy Disc. So that was like life changing. I was like still a teenager.
Wow, and yeah, you're not ready to tour yet. But if you put out records, you got a tour, right? Did you get to that point?
I've never in my life been a touring musician. Okay. So I've always envied people who have been, but no, I've never done that.
You hear a lot of people whining about it, but I do think it's an excellent opportunity. It's a trippy, vaudevillian trip.
Yeah, I'd love to do it someday if I can.
Maybe you will, right?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Yeah. 47.
Yeah, you got time.
Okay, good.
Vincent painted only in the last 10 years of his life, huh? So, Velvet Cactus, there must be some kind of like transition between where you get more and more confident. You said you couldn't play guitar, but did you take lessons? You must have learned, right?
Yeah, I got to say, in the last like 4 years, I've finally gotten decent at guitar. I've like really expanded my chord repertoire, but for the longest time, I just played like, you know, 3 or 4 chords, really junky playing, and just thought it was fine. But now I've really seen the limitations of it, and I just want to write slightly more complicated songs. So it's been a recent discovery, but yeah, now for a very long time, I was just self-taught and kind of proud, but yeah, I think I probably could have used a few more chords back in the day, too.
Okay,
you know?
Life Our Own Way. Is this David Healy?
Yeah, that's my newest record. That's
right,
the new one.
Okay, got the credit right. Let's listen.
Something happens between the hour of midnight and dawn. Deeper frequency, no one believes she can be on. I know you tried to raise us right, but you raised us wrong. That's if the streets time to get with the beat of the song. Come on, living life our own way. Living life free. Living life our own way. My baby and me.
It happens when we ride through the city on the bus. A deeper feeling like love without the pity of lust. Don't you know that people have no speed and they're dancing just like us. It's true to you, what we do doesn't make a difference, but to us it does. Just the two of us, our bodies and the sound.
ఎలా బడ్డి మగనే.
I swim or if I sink. You say what you feel. My heart's cooking all over itself like an eel without a wheel. You rock my mind.
Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with David Heatley doing Life Our Own Way. Brand new from Noisuka, Hermit Crabs. Reynolds out of Montreal, Quebec. What am I saying? Quebecois, that's what I meant. Lintiri Temporoli, Guided by Voices, brand new. Of course, it's the other, every other month, right? There's a new album. Bob Pollard's incredible. Climbing a Ramp, Senor Salty Balls with Just Cause, Bums Printed, House of Doors, Sam Locke Ward, Bob Buckle Jr. Tugging for the Man, Karam out of Toronto, it's more Canada, Squeezing Through the Penance Stone, Hari Seam after that, brand new, De Brancho, Ariel, Northern Jaw, his latest album, Michael, Strong Beach here. Alley Vultures, and finally, Dave, is this David Heatley? Rock My Mind?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to check. Now I'm all suspicious, you know, after the eclipse, after being eclipsed by reality with this ability. Okay. You know, the picture, though, don't show you with acoustic guitar. It shows you with an electric guitar. So when do you make that move? I think it's a Telecaster, in fact, like the boom plate.
Oh, it's actually it's kind of like a hollow-bodied thing. Dan Electro, it's convertible.
Oh, yeah, I remember those, kind of Masonite.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like a kitchen countertop or something.
Masonite. Yeah, and they had the amps, right, in the case.
Yeah. It's kind of like a toy, which I like. I like instruments that are a bit
made
like
them
toys.
More, Sears, they called them Silvertone.
Yeah,
right. Totally. They're really light. And they got their own sound, lipstick pickups. They're interesting. Okay, so when did you get one of them?
I think I got it about 10 years ago. There's actually a guitar shop in my hometown in Teaneck, New Jersey. That's, I think it's called Lake Street Guitars. Really good shop. And they just had it. You know, people always say, oh, the guitar calls out to you. And I always thought that was cheesy. But this one really did. I just felt the connection. I was like, I got to buy this thing. So that was it.
And what about amp?
I just honestly play, I use this guitar mostly just to demo songs, and I just have like an orange, you know, warm-up amp, practice amp, and I just play that.
Okay, okay. And, like a little combo, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, so when you say demos, right? So what, you got a four track or you go into a pewter?
So I've downloaded this app called Acapella, which allows you to like, record different screens. So I just like, I make a little video of me playing each part. And, you know, unlike other apps, like you actually can't just overdub. So it's like you get the take you get and then you do the next take and it has to be sort of live in a way, which I like. It's a limitation, you know.
It's kind of like a voice memo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, on a leash,
you just layer it.
Yeah. But it's to capture the idea so it don't get lost in the fucking vortex.
Exactly.
Write all the bitch and licks that have been invented and just lost.
Yeah.
It's hard to hold on, right? It's hard to hold on. So I have a little, so many little recorder thing, you know, digital, that I just carry around and I'll hum the shit in there. Because it's hard to remember, man. And sometimes it just hits you, right? When you come on something, you see something, you feel something, you're thinking of something, maybe combinations of both. And that's where the muse touches you, right? That's where the tunage.
Yeah, you got to grab it when it's right there.
So what do? You got a whole batch of these little, like you say, you can't build on them. And where do they go from there? From there, then you go to the...
Well, like, so with this album, it was kind of an amazing life
changing. Yeah, let's talk about this album, since that's the main reason, right?
We're talking. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so I'd say probably all the songs on this album, like, came to me in my dreams, actually. It's where I just woke up and had a little fragment of it left. It might have been, like, a line from a chorus or a verse. So I just, like you said, I just sing it into my phone and kind of capture it. And then I'd work with it, like, over... you know, weeks or months, and do more of a proper demo with like multi parts, you know, harmonies, whatever, layers of guitars and keyboards. And then, you know, this was new for me. I actually sent them to Mark Bingham, who's the producer on the record, and having him as a collaborator, it was like, you know, it was like strapping an airplane jet engine on the back of the thing, and it just everything took off because he knew exactly how to dial everything up and get the right people to play these little parts I had in my head.
Okay, I was going to ask. It wasn't man alone then. It was, well, for sure, a producer, man. But he also brought in other musicians?
Oh, yeah. He brought in, like, 12 different musicians down in New Orleans and, you know, a couple of rural Louisiana cats. And it was, it was the best music session of my life working with them, for sure.
You said you made, two albums with the Velvet Cactus Society. So this was a different way of making records for you.
Yeah, I mean, we had, I guess Kramer technically produced that first record, but, you know, barely. And it's kind of a mess through no fault of his. We just didn't know what the hell we're doing. But, you know, Mark's been making records for 50 years. So you go down there and you're in the hands of a master and he just knows. He'll listen to my demo for a couple of weeks straight and then he has parts that he hears and he knows, oh, I'll get this guy to play guitar on that, and, you know, we'll tweak the line a little bit to make it more like this, and let's, you know, bring in this kind of drum pattern. It was like, it's easily half his record. I mean, honestly,
and Velvet Cactus so much. Society, those records are more like gig in front of the microphones.
So they're weird records because half of them, like the first record is 26 songs, the second record is 50 songs, and more than half of them are like four-track, tunes that we just put onto 2-inch tape. And
that you guys record yourself, and then Craig didn't record them. Okay.
Totally. Yeah, well, but then half of them we did do in the studio. Yeah, half of them were studio tracks that were, you know, like more properly layered with better mics and stuff. But
even those were like... gigs in front of the microphone, not so much like with Mark, like listening and like kind of almost repurposing them, reforming them.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, it's good, I think, to get a lot of different kind of experiences that you can't. And whatever you call it, evolution. How'd you get connected with Mark?
Well, this is one of these things. I mean, I get these little voices in my head sometimes that tell me to do things, and this was one of them where I got this new Peter Stampfel record that's, 100 songs.
Right,
it's,
Peter was on the show last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I was such a fan of that record, and one of his earlier ones that Mark produced, and I just was like, oh, my God, this guy's a genius, whoever did all these songs. I had to track him down. He wasn't easy to find. I got his email from someone and then wrote him this long, gushing letter just saying, like, all the different things I loved about the record, and said, hey, here's some demos of some stuff I've been writing. It's like a dream of mine to work with you one day. And, you just send that. You think it's going to go into the void. But he liked it. He was like, yeah, man, why don't you come down? We'll record a few of these. And then, we did four at first. Then I came back a month later. We did 11 more. And that was it. We had a whole record.
You can share that lesson with a lot of people. Let the freak flag fly. Roll the dice.
Yeah, you got it, right? That's worked out for me my whole life, I gotta say. I mean, I've always approached artists I really love, and half the time you don't hear, and then half the time you might, and they might like what you do too.
But not to even give it a shot is such a, oh my God, like sort of like getting rid of that fucking piano, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's more like, the opportunity word means nothing, but it really does, it can. Look, Dave, we're at the end of the first hour, March 3, 2022 edition What Peter Show, special guest David Heatley. My middle name's David.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Played my mom. Hold tight,
my dad's name is Mike.
March 3, 2022. It's the second hour of the What Peter Show.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Turn up to kill you drunk. crash. What happened to my clothes? There was a cute girl at the gate, all tatted up, sucking on a whiskey bottle and a cigarette butt. She said, welcome to eternal damnation, dear. It's really not as bad as they describe it up there. We can drink and smoke and fuck as much as we please. This is kind of a joke, but at least there's plenty of peace. She handed me a robe with sandals that were crimson red. Then she kissed me on the cheek and said, I'll find you later in your bed. I walked through a tunnel for what felt like hours. Found myself in a cavern full of blackened flowers. Saw miles of bucks, naked bodies at play. I threw my robe on a rock and I jumped into the fray. That I made. I'm pissing white light, I got flames coming out my ass. I'm pissing white light, I got flames coming out my ass. Pissing white light, I got flames coming out my ass. I'm pissing white light, pissing white light.
Walk for Pedro show started the second hour off with David Heatley, Blowing Off the World. That's a David Heatley tune, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's me.
Okay. And Manuel Ayres, this is Manlio, and he's living in Berlin these days, Terracita. No, where is it? It ain't Roma. He got pissed off. It's more by the water. I think it's Terracheek. But, man, he's an incredible guitar man. And this music he's making these days is incredible.
Manly.
Manuel Vares, great band name, too, because he goes with his name. Ben Salter, after that, from Tasmania with Passion. Thank you, Ben Salter, for sending me a package. We did a song together. Richard Young's No Jams. It's not a happy tune. Tom Moody and the all-new Greatest Hits Band. That's wishful thinking. Still, Crushed by Pimps. I think they're buddies with these guys. South London, Crushed by Pimps. Unchristened. Son Kevin after that with Mal. Not male. Mal. Bad, right? Latin. Maybe it is male. Absorption, Son Kevin. And then David Heatley. Pissing white light. White light, white heat. Okay. I love using the word piss instead of pee, man. Maybe it was the way I grew up Navy housing, but just could not handle that fucking word pee. That was like what girls said.
Yeah, piss girls is much more rock and roll.
Nothing wrong with girls, but okay, so you had a big batch of tunes, but like you said, you ran four by them. You went down there. You worked on them in batches.
Yeah. It was kind of like a test. Like, oh, let's see if we can work together. If this works out. And I brought four. And, it was just like a mind-blowing experience. He got all these great people. So I was like, I got to come back here immediately and do more. So
but let me
just a month later. Yeah.
I'm kind of a little confused because I thought you sent him the stuff and then he listened a bunch and then he thought of parts.
Yeah, he did. That's what I'm saying. I sent him four and he was like, come down and let's try these. But I just didn't know how it was going to go. And he didn't either, like how we would work together. Okay. But it worked really well.
But you must add some positive things when he started you getting feedback off your four tunes, right? You didn't go there cold.
I mean, we just emailed. I never talked to him on the phone.
He
didn't say much. He was just like, yeah, cool, let's do him. So, yeah, there wasn't like – the plan was all in his head.
You realize when you got there he had done all this. Okay.
Yeah.
So he was like – it was – in a way that's kind of good because it ain't all just his words and – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of taunting, like, because some dudes, that's all it is words. There's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But there you got to see it actually done, that he had invested all this stuff. That's bitching.
It was really cool. It was really cool, yeah.
So the second round, round two, what you come back with four more?
I came back with, I sent him like 20 songs total, but I said, why don't you pick which ones you like? And we wound up with 15. So I had like 11 more on the second time. And that was a really packed, it was 10 days. We did 11 songs. So we really crammed it in. Yeah.
Yeah. And how much time in between that he got to listen and think of things?
We pretty much captured everything that went on to the final songs during that 10 days. There may have been a few little parts he added over the coming weeks, but I'd say within a month of me leaving Louisiana, he had the whole thing mixed. It was a real quick process.
And so he didn't fuck with like the skeletons or whatever, the basic structures, or did he? Like, let's move this chorus, let's move this verse, this bridge.
No, not really. No.
So he's just supplement.
He said, extend this thing 8 bars or something. He might say something like that. Okay. Like, let's have the outro be really long. But no, not in terms of other structure.
Now, I'll give you an example. I remember first day Ed from Ohio came to my pad, and he writes a song with these two chords that are arpeggiated. And I said to him, I like those chords, but what if you strummed a little different? What if you went, dun-let, da, dun-let, da? Of course, why? Well, make room for the bass guitar.
Yes.
But that turned. That's how Break Captain happened. So Edward came up with the chords, but then I asked him to strum a little different. But I would have never asked him to strum a little different if I didn't first hear them chords.
Mm.
Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think of it like, a producer thinks in terms of puzzle pieces. They have to snap together. You can't be playing on top of each other, right? And okay. So
yeah, I totally agree with you, Dave. Now, here's this stuff that I found out was called the Bischoffs. It's
something
called Moonbeam.
Yeah.
Were silvery blue. Asked me if I would like to dream. Blood.
blood in my eyes with designs and glorious patterns. Lost my way, bundled me up in her arms and carried me back to Saturn. My skin and lighting from inside, then dissolving into bits of white matter.
наша сила. Блешку, баден, баден, твоје звукове. Hey!
special. I am not so plain. I am not the person who is living in my brain. I am not in. I am not uncertain. I am not to blame. I will not be cursing if it snows or when it rains, 'cause I am not in. Anything but singing this song. I can't think of anything that I have done wrong. David is my name. David is the name. David is a name that was given to me. That was given. I spent my life searching. I spent my life in pain. Time to stop rehearsing, counting the days that I have been. 'Cause I am not insane.
Watch for Pedro show at Chunky Music. Start off with the Bischoffs. People off air, I got invited to the origin of that name. Soon you will. Moonbeam, which was a kind of a joke name that would give a governor, Mr. Jerry Brown, two-time governor.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Riding across the oceans on the back of Kind Old Sea Turtle from Puppet Midnight out of England. Bass only. Happening. Trouble Clover Krista Pesci out of, well, this is 1983, so it was still called Yugoslavia. Ples, which in, I didn't fuck up too bad, my Slovene, it means dance. The Black Dots out of Denton, Texas. Last Days of the New Pompeii. Muskeg Mudsuck out of Alaska with Mired and Muskeg. Plus Dog Plus out of New England. Unexpected Peace 2. I couldn't find Unexpected Peace 1, so maybe this is a good sign. Ray Shin after that was Atrium. And finally, some more of the Bischoffs. I am not insane. In likeness to the Bischoffs, David, please.
So the Bischoffs was me and three high school friends in about like the early 2010s. We got together. We named ourselves after like this beloved ice cream parlor in our town, which was Teaneck, New Jersey. And it was kind of like, yeah, going back in time, like, let's just have fun. Let's have like a high school band, even though we're all turning 30. And, yeah, we made a few EPs. We made one record. We played around New York City quite a bit. It was fun. But yeah, I'd say that album kind of captures the spirit of what we were going for.
It was a 4-piece?
Yeah, just four of us. Our drummer actually, the unique thing about the band was our drummer actually played a school desk. We like mic'd up a school desk and he would beat on the top of it and the side of it. Like kind of like you would do in study hall or in the lunchroom or something.
Right. No kick drum?
That was a big part of our sound.
No kick drum?
No kick drum. There's okay. Like the fist on the top of the desk was the low end.
Okay. Because your bass player needs a marriage partner.
We didn't have a bass player. It was two.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I always think about those bands without basses. That poor lonely kick drum. You guys solved that fucking problem.
Yeah.
Dilemma. And what happened to them?
You know, a couple of them moved away. They had babies. I don't know. Yeah, we just kind of were like, all right.
It ran its course.
No hard feelings.
Yeah, no, yeah. No chingazos, fisticuffs. Okay.
Yeah, none of that.
But that's a trippy bit. Okay, so no bass and the drummies on a fucking school desk.
Yeah.
Where are the other guys? Were you on guitar singing?
Yeah, I played acoustic guitar, and my buddy played acoustic guitar, but he plugged it in some pedals and made it electric sounding. Yeah.
Of course.
But it had a bit of a Violent Femmes-y kind of vibe, the acoustic punk thing. Yeah.
But you didn't have the Brian Ritchie on the acoustic bass.
No, yeah. No. I mean, that's such a big part of their sound. It's true.
Yeah, but also Gordon's tunes. I remember him talking to me once. He said, you know, I've made records and toured and all this stuff, but my whole career is based on these songs I wrote when I was 17 years old.
I know, what a curse.
but in a way, no, Charlie told me that about the Pixies. Now, he wasn't 17, but not that much older.
He said
to me, Pixies is the gift that keeps on giving.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what he told me. It didn't matter what songs he could write down the road. It was always going to be the Pixies.
Yeah.
Gordon Tunes and Femmes. Yeah, tunes are trippy, though. I think they get their own lives.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you're lucky, you know, it's ones that people like. And why not keep going back to the well, not to beat a dead horse. That's why you keep making new songs. But maybe like a foundation or something is those tunes that people related to. So, you know, a blister in the sun.
Yeah.
We go wild.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I know, it could be an albatross around some people's neck. They feel like they always have to play it, and they're sick of it.
Right, right.
I've never had that problem. I've never really had much of a following for my music, so it's like I'm free to just keep trying for the first song that's going to break through. So.
I heard Pete Townsend had a nickname it was Python Lizard for Pinball Wizard.
I could see them getting sick of playing that.
Yeah, we're getting gratuitous, right? Look, we're at the end of the second hour. March 3rd, 2022 edition, Watt Pedro Slow, special guest, David Heatley. Hold tight for hour three. March 3rd, 2022, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
David Curly Jets was a boy soldier. Couldn't wait till the day he got older. He could fight with a knife and a handgun. Untimely end. He's being flown to England in the dead of night to penetrate a sleeper cell of neo-Nazi skinheads. Crawling through the ventilator ducts, armed to the teeth, Davy Curly Jets drops down into the fray, a whirling dervish of death. Knives spinning, bullets spraying, sending racist teenage thugs to meet their unholy makers. Close up on their faces, chopped and quartered, half a jaw spewing jets of crimson piss. Blobs of hemoglobin, Argan lands, battering into Davy Curly Jets' visage. He sees red. It's right at this moment that a half-dead Nazi, pulling and dragging himself by one hand, locates a stray pistol and points it shakily at our hero. The evil boy's aim proves to be impossible. Davy Curly Jets lets loose a guttural howl and drops down to the concrete floor, falling through memory fragments and dream noise, his life leaking out through the hole in his freshly torn stomach. Brain tightens in on his one open eye, fluttering frantically before it closes itself to the world forever. The music swells. black. Titles read, Here Lies Davy Curly Jets, a noble warrior, the likes of which we may never again know. The likes of which we may never again know.
Let the skeletons dance down upon their graves, and the dead will rise on O Hallows Eve. Where the pack was laid to a ring of fire drawn upon the earth. It's a premonition of the witchcraft. Let the skeletons dance down upon their graves, and the dead will rise on O Hallows Eve.
body is a temple of pop production. Watch me as I'm singing doo-doo-da-boo-doo-dee. Got my studio clocking hot deduction based on the square footage on my schedule. Living in line, living in time for my principal. I got my principal for my principal. A computer on the edge of destruction. Viruses and worms and gigabytes to delete. Finally got debugged and I restored the function. Now it's just a tool that I can use when I need. Living in line, living in time for my principal. I got my principal. Desperate for someone to think to make him complete. Living a life, living a time for my principal. I got my principal. For my principal.
Our show start off third hour back in David Heatley world with Davy Curly Jets, and then Mythless, brand new, Dreadless, further set, brand new, Aras, Tim Wholehouse, not brand new, All Hallows Eve, ain't even fucking Halloween, fuck that, boy, but much respect, Tim Wholehouse. Neighbors Will Get Pissed, Man, on Saturday Night 2. Now, this is a prac probably at Quinn's house, late 1984, from the Treacherous Jaywalkers, which has Josh Hayden, Charlie Hayden's son. Then finally, Principals. This ain't the pal, right? The guy who's run the school. This is polls like ethics people. David Heatley. So, enlighten us first. I don't know. Do you like to talk about your songs? Because some people say, why?
Yeah.
That's why I fucking wrote them in the first place.
No, I could talk about any of them, sure.
So, break. Davy Curly Jets, enlighten us.
So that was, like many of my songs, that came to me in a dream. So I woke up with that chorus, like, you know, please, can you hear me, Davy Curly Jets, you are not dead. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? And I just thought, okay, maybe he's a superhero. Maybe he's like a vigilante named Davy Curly Jets. Maybe he's like my alter ego. And then I wrote this kind of comic booky song about this guy who's going to fight Nazis in England, and he gets killed or something. So that's where that – I just made a narrative out of it. But I wrote those lyrics like, I don't know, like 3 in the morning or something. So they have the same sort of dream logic as the rest of it. But, yeah, so it's – to try and like psychoanalyze myself, I was like, where did that name come from? You know, I was called Davey when I was growing up. And I was a big West Side Story fan, and I love the Jets. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
The Jets and the Sharks. Ruben and the Jets. Or yeah. Benny and the Jets with Elton Wan, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at the picture. That's a total Dan Electro. I'm such an idiot. That is not a fucking telecast. But, you know, George Hurley, who wrote a lot of good Minutemen lyrics, he had a job where he had operated a lathe like 5 in the morning. So he'd be half awake. But this is when he'd be writing these words. And there's a surreal quality. I think it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can't fake that, right?
Yeah, and also music kind of is for transcending or pretending. And on purpose pretending might be a little too like obvious, right? And like you said, psychoanalysis, it might be revealing something about something that's going on, right?
Yeah.
Frank Morgan, Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. But you're saying, come on, let's pay attention to whatever's behind this curtain. Well, fuck, he was the dude behind the curtain.
It's all interesting to me.
Okay, let's move on. The principles.
Principles. I mean, so I'm a cartoonist too. You know, I write comic books about my life story and stuff. And I have a book that came out recently called Qualification. It's all about growing up in like a 12-step kind of culty house, you know, and wound up getting sucked in myself. Like in my 30s, I went to like 6 different programs over about 7 years.
Oh, so the old joke is the 13th step, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I wound up leaving, and the book is sort of about that. It's about, like, you know, getting to the end of that journey. But when I was still in the steps, this song was written around then. Like, I have these principles that are guiding me, and they're going to kind of keep me on the straight and narrow. And I just feel like there's not too many rock songs about, like, having spiritual principles. Like, maybe Bad Brains do that really well, but I don't hear it. Too much, year, like with, you know.
The year so that John was, Coltrane quit heroin, he wrote a song called Straight Street.
Right,
on his
okay.
First record on Prestige, Coltrane. Trip is, there's no lyrics. But you know what? I bet you it's in that music. So maybe you were on the same parallel universe as him there, David.
Yeah, it could be.
Now,
yeah.
You got this tune here. It's interesting, too, because that lady, remember there was that lady with the big fancy name that supported that bebop scene and ask questions to these musicians, John Coltrane. One of them, you know, 3 wishes. What do you want more? And one of them was like, he wanted more sex energy. And we're going to listen to a tune here called Sexified. Okay, cool. Let's listen.
Sexified. This puts the nail in the coffin of me ever being sexified. Strolling through the mall in California with some fashion model European by my side. Thank you. to fight. If I could have one prayer be answered, I'd ask God to make me sexify. Bodies at the stage, not underage, but young. I'd ask the best one to be my new bride.
So last music for this edition, Sexified, start off that Chuck David Heaton. Then we had Tollum off his new record. This is his Man Alone on the Piano and improvised The Way to the Way to the Way. And finally, David Heatley, On Your Side. So, enlighten us.
Which one first?
Maybe the
Sexified?
First one. Maybe the first. Or your choice.
Yeah, okay, Sexified. So similarly, I was talking about these 12-step programs. Like one of them I went to was all about kind of sex and love and, you know, fantasy and crushes and, you know, so, and I have always had a problem with like just falling in love with too many people at the drop of a hat. And you know, but the character in this song, I think is like a really a strung out, you know, sex addict kind of guy. And it's just it's a fictional tale of someone who's just, you know, longing for fame and groupies and stardom and just really strung out on that, because it's never going to be enough. Like no matter how much sex or adoration you get, it's just going to leave you hollow. So it's just, yeah, it's like writing from that lonely, you know, strung out place basically.
Yeah, yeah. And On Your Side, maybe not the same thing. Or maybe,
yeah,
you want to share a basic humanity, but I don't want to do that lifestyle choice.
Well, so On Your Side is like a really special song. When I was down there in Louisiana recording, I met the singer of that song named Tiff Lamson, really brilliant musician in New Orleans. And yeah, we just hit it off and had kind of a cool friendship blossom out of that. And I wrote the song really with her in mind, because I could sense that, you know, she had been, you know, it was like based on a character that's been really through the ringer, and it's someone kind of telling that person like, hey, I'm on your side, give me a chance, I'm not going to be like the other men in your life, and you know, just try and trust me. So it's just a simple, pure love song, and you know, it was written about a friend, but it's got kind of a, yeah, like a love story kind of vibe to it.
Do you do your own artwork?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the music videos I did for this record, I did all the drawing for.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know
and
that.
And then the other one I hired an illustrator. So I do work with collaborators too.
And when you do, you know, that best friend, Rim Pettibone, right? And man, that word illustrator, ooh. So it rubs them hard.
It's it kind of means
that some you're taking direction, right?
Yeah, although I've had a career doing illustration for newspapers and stuff, so I don't really mind that word. But I know someone who's making art really doesn't want to be called. That is insulting if you're trying to
you
make
know, painting. That's a semantic trip, right? A craft in art, or a technique, right? Skill and expression, or are they the same?
Yeah.
Or maybe there's no definite line. Maybe they blur. Maybe they inform each other.
I think so. I mean, I think every great painting has to have a surface layer that draws you in. So you could say there's some kind of, you know, illustration component to that. But then it's got to have some depth, too. And, you know, an illustration for the cover of a magazine, maybe you look at it for, you know, a minute at most and then forget about it. But a painting, you have to snag them in the same way, but you want to keep their attention and have them think about it longer. So, yeah, I don't know. There's differences. There's some similarities.
Yeah, like a lot of stuff. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram, so if you look for my name, David Heatley, H-E-A-T-L-E-Y, or just davidheatley.com, my website.
Oh, yeah, that's good. You probably got links to your other stuff there, right?
I do, yeah.
It's like having your own fans. Do you put your comic work there?
Yeah, there's my links to my books and my illustrations and drawings and stuff, yeah.
You know, a lot of comics are collaborative, right? You have a guy who writes a spiel and then the illustrator.
Yeah, not the kind of work that I've always been drawn to, like kind of underground comics or literary comics, whatever you want to call them. Those tend to be by all the same person writing, drawing. But
did I ask you if you ever read Captive Chains?
No.
Okay, that was Raymond Pettibone's first it was like a graphic novel or let's say comic book from the late 70s.
Ooh, I gotta see that. No, I haven't seen that.
It's a real trip, and it's a lot. To me, it's a series of vignettes. But you know, Raymond's one of those guys who don't like to explain. Why do you think I made the piece art in the first place? What? So yeah, I totally understand. You know, but different ways. You know, I'm just in respect for anybody. With artistic integrity, I want to learn from them, you know. And
yeah,
it's been a great honor to have you on the show, David. Truly. And keep on keeping on. Are you already working on the next one?
I am. I actually flew down, and Mark and I recorded like 12 new basic tracks, and he's going to work on it over the next 6 months or so. But yeah, we got another record in the works.
When it gets done, come back on the show, please.
Oh, I'd love to, man. I'm a big fan of yours, so this is an honor for me, for sure.
You're most kind, dude. People, March 3rd, 2022, edition of Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.